Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Now after 2 days it was the Passover and the Feast of the Leavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, there came a woman with an alabaster box of ointment and very precious spikenard. And she broke the box and poured it upon his head. And there were some who were indignant within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work toward me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you desire you may do them good, but you do not have me always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial to her." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him. And when they heard, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said to him, "Where dost thou desire that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sent forth 2 of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and there ye shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he may go in, you say to the master of the house, 'The master says, where is the guest room where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Prepare there for us." And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found it, as he had said to them, and they made the Passover ready. And in the evening he came with the 12, and as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you who eats with me shall betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes as it has been written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It were good for this man that he had not been born." And as they ate, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and he gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Although all shall be offended, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto you, that today, in this night, before the cock crows twice, ye shall deny me 3 times. But he spoke the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any way. And they all said likewise. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John. And he began to be greatly amazed and to be very heavy. And he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Stay here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell upon the ground. And he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, do you sleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Truly the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither did they know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough, the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he who betrays me is at hand. And immediately while he still spoke, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he who betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that one is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he had come, he goes immediately to him and said, Master, Master, and he kissed him. And they laid their hands upon him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have you come out with swords and staves as against a thief to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not take me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth cast around his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus, to put him to death, and they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their witness did not agree together. And there arose certain ones, and bore false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple, that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another, made without hands. But neither did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Do you answer nothing? What is it which these witness against you? But he was silent and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him, saying, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, What further need do we have of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death, and some began to spit upon him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy! And the servants struck him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was below in the palace, one of the maids of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Are you also with Jesus of Nazareth? And he denied, saying, I do not know, nor even understand what you are saying. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, those who stood by said again to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for your Galilean speech betrays you. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, Before the cock crows twice, ye shall deny me 3 times. And when he thought upon it, he wept.
Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees, let us drink wine together. Through the
Lesson 42, Jesus is Arrested. In today's lesson, we will learn about the treachery and betrayal of Jesus by Judas and Peter's denial of even knowing Jesus. It is sad to see how wickedly man treated Jesus, who only came to share God's love with humanity, especially when we see even his close friends fail him. But even in the midst of such hopeless rebellion and sin, we find one person who honored Jesus. A woman took some costly oil of spikenard and anointed Jesus with it. Some of the disciples were upset by this and thought the oil could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But Jesus defends the actions of the woman. He explains that she had honored him and done this in preparation for his burial. He also said that what this woman did would be remembered wherever the gospel would be preached. How precious to Jesus are the acts of kindness we do for him, but how misunderstood by carnal minds. Jesus and his disciples met to celebrate the Passover meal, and while they were eating together, Jesus informs them that one of them would betray him, and they were all wondering who it could be. Jesus then says it would be better if the betrayer had never been born. They did not know then who the betrayer was, but we now know that it was Judas. Those who so knowingly and openly rebel against Christ can only look forward to God's severe judgment. Jesus then institutes the Lord's Supper, where the bread and wine are to be taken in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for us. This unique meal is a wonderful way for believers to reflect upon Jesus' love for us and to draw near to him in worship. A church that wishes to please the Lord will be careful to observe the Lord's Supper regularly and solemnly. Unfortunately, today many Christians have not seen the significance of this simple remembrance meal, and it is relegated to a short ritual tagged on to a preaching service. The New Testament would show us that this was the central meeting of the believers and their regular practice. After the Lord's Supper was ended, Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus tells all of his disciples how they would fail him and scatter. No one wanted to believe this, and Peter tries to promise his loyalty at all cost. Such is the weakness and fear of men, who speak courageous words, but when put to the test, tremble in fear. Many are bold in church to declare they are a Christian, but then around their unbelieving friends they deny they know Christ through their ungodly behavior. In the garden, Jesus prays for the cup of judgment to be taken from him, but submits to the will of God. Jesus would look for any other possible answer than going to the cross and suffer the wrath of God against our sin, but there was no other way but the cross, and he surrendered his will to this horrible and shameful death. After Jesus made his prayers, and in the dark of the night, soldiers came with Judas leading them. When they arrested Jesus, there is some immediate resistance, and one of the high priest's servants lost his ear. Jesus allowed these men to take him, but asked that his disciples go free. The disciples then forsook him and fled into the darkness. It is a remarkable thing to see Jesus allowing men to bind him and lead him away to their mock trial. Jesus had all power and could have blinded them all or sent down fire upon them or had an angel slay them all, but he chose to surrender himself to sinful men, the creatures he had made and given life to. What amazing grace our Lord demonstrates to all of us. When questioned by the high priest, Jesus remains silent. But when he is asked directly if he is the Christ, he confirms this to be so. This infuriated the priest and those gathered, and they spit upon him and mocked him and blindfolded him and struck him on the face, asking him to prophesy who struck him. It is remarkable how these supposed religious, God-fearing men could act with such hatred and viciousness. We can only conclude that it was Satan who was driving them in their mad rage against Jesus. While Jesus is undergoing this trial, Peter had tried to slip into the courtyard unnoticed and warmed himself by the fire. However, some recognized him as one of the disciples. But Peter kept denying their charges. At last the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and in conviction and sorrow he went out and wept bitterly. As we consider how unjustly and wickedly men treated Jesus, we ought to ask ourselves how we have responded to Jesus. Have we pushed Jesus out of our lives because we do not want any threat to our enjoyment of sin? Have we denied him by our actions and words when we are fearful and want to conform to the world? Have we betrayed him by cooperating with God's enemies? We all need to search our hearts and realize that before God we are all guilty of the sins that led Jesus to the cross. Although men bound him, arrested him, tried him, and eventually crucified him, it was his will to die for mankind. He would have never been taken by wicked men unless God allowed it. Jesus loves us that much that he was willing to be the sacrificial lamb that paid the penalty for all of our sin, even for his friends that left him that night when he was arrested. How often we have failed him, and yet he never fails us. Trust him today as your Savior, for that is the reason he submitted himself to the cross. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven. Mark chapter 14, verse 62.
Unforgiven, because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the night in which Jesus was betrayed and arrested. On that night, Jesus provided a simple meal by which his followers could remember his dying love for them. He also prayed earnestly for an alternate method of salvation, but when none was found, he willingly gave himself over to the shameful crucifixion. Someone might ask the question, why did Jesus pray for this cup of suffering to pass when he knew that he must go to the cross? There is a great mystery in trying to understand the human and divine natures as combined in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his human nature, we see him tired, hungry, sleeping, and on this night crying out for deliverance. In his divine nature, we see Jesus foretelling the details of his own arrest and crucifixion. We see him walk on the sea, raise the dead, still a storm, and cast out evil spirits. We know that Jesus was a man and truly human, but he was also God incarnate. It makes it difficult for us to understand how Jesus could know full well that he would be sentenced to die on a cross in just a few short hours, and that this must be the case to fulfill the scriptures and secure salvation for mankind, and yet at the same time hear him pray that the Father would allow this cup to pass away from him. This meant he was praying if there remained any other possible way to accomplish our salvation, then he was pleading for that option. We may have to accept that we cannot fully fathom the mystery of the dual nature of Christ in both his human and divine natures. Perhaps we can simply understand that while Jesus knew he must go to the cross and suffer, he was still shrinking back at the horrible reality of the shame and suffering he would have to endure. It was his human nature that recoiled at the thought of such a horrible, torturous death and from the wrath that must fall upon him in order to pay sin's penalty. During the time Jesus was on the cross, we are told that his soul was made an offering for sin and that he bore in his own body our sins. We just cannot fathom the depth of judgment he went through because of our sins, and his spirit was horrified and greatly troubled by those dark, looming hours upon the cross. It is not that he was unwilling to go, for he asserted, "Not my will, but thine be done." Although our Lord Jesus has surrendered his will to the cross, and though in his divine nature he knew what must happen, yet there was a holy revulsion to the horrors of the cross. We might think of it this way. Imagine the policeman has given you a speeding fine. You know for sure you must pay the price because the crime is definitely being committed. You know justice must be served. But you also know paying for the fine is going to hurt you financially, and so you still make your plea to the officer to see if there is any other way you could pay for the crime. But all the while you know that the law demands that you must pay the fine. It is not that you are rejecting the law or its just judgment, but you just dread the weight of the law and its punishment upon you, and your reaction is to look for any way out. But in reality, you know you will have to pay the price. If I think of this simple analogy, perhaps it can help me to understand why Jesus prayed as he did for deliverance from the judgment he knew he must face. The difference, of course, is that he did not have to pay just a small fine, but he took all the judgment for all of man's sin. He was in great anguish of spirit when he thought of what he must endure to fully pay our debt. There are some scenes in the Bible which make us wonder in awe at the marvelous plan of God to redeem lost mankind. Here in the Gospels we see how Jesus yielded himself willingly to be our Savior, even when the men he came to save treated him so cruelly and unjustly. Yet his purpose was not diminished by the failures and sin of men, and he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. Have you considered the debt Jesus paid for your sins? Have you considered how much pain and suffering he went through so you could go to heaven? I hope you will appreciate and thank him for his love and sacrifice, and call upon him in faith to save your soul. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and Evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.